Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hyperthetical.
Nintendo!
IGN's offices in San Francisco, welcome to Nintendo Voice Chat. I am your host, Jose Otero, and this is IGN's All Nintendo Podcast. The usual cast is together again for the most part. We haven't been together in the same room for a while.
No. Brian.
Hi,
Brian,
how are you? Altano is to my right.
What's up?
I'm doing well. Per Schneider is to my left.
Thank you for having me.
And we have a special guest this week.
Yeah, I have no idea what's going on. They just kind of one thing. I was hanging out in my apartment. Next thing, I woke up and I'm surrounded by these people. So
yeah. It's the IGN way.
We just grabbed them.
Yeah.
Who are you?
What's up with it? I am Toaf. Please just call me Toaf. Chris Aldenriver. I guess I'm a commentator and competitor in the Super Smash Brothers scene, and I was here today doing some cool stuff with the new 3DS game.
Yes.
And me and Jose talking over, all the different gameplay modes, and
I think you're underselling yourself a little bit. You know, Brian often challenges people to beat him at Smash Brothers.
You don't have to tell him about that.
Oh, this was a whole thing.
He thinks he's so good. Yeah, he thinks he's so good.
Someone tweeted at Toaf just to say, you know, Brian Altano dropped a challenge,
and you need
to go over there and handle that. And it was like, and you were like, what?
Yeah. So I was like, okay.
Maybe after this, you guys can play a little match and see I don't know who would be better of these two.
I have not actually played any human opponents today. I've done a lot of trying out the new modes and stuff, but I've yet to actually do any combat. Yeah. So.
Right. Oh, research.
So there's your chance, man.
You sound like you're making up excuses personally.
I'm just trying to tell. Unsuspecting listeners, I'm not going in with any expectations. I'm just going to say, I've done my research, and I think, I'm pretty comfortable with the new engine.
Cool. It sounds like you're setting the bar really low, so when I beat you.
Okay.
When I beat you, I just want you to make sure that you can run back to all your professional Smash friends and tell them.
It's like being at the cafeteria in school again, right? And watching, both sides of the table go at it.
No, in reality, I'm really glad you're here, and if we do play Smash, you will absolutely crush me.
I'm just curious. What character do you play?
Me?
Yeah.
Rob.
Rob, okay, tight.
No one plays as Rob.
You can't play as Rob in the 3DS version, right?
I play as Rob in Brawl.
Not the one in The Office, but he is a character in Smash Brothers for 3DS.
Eventually.
Yeah. I'm gonna say some other things that are gonna blow your mind. Okay. I play with items.
Okay.
And I play on multiple stages.
Oh, that is absolutely fine to me. I am
really
so my co-caster, Bobby Scar, we play, and he loves just Battlefield, primarily Battlefield. I am all about my favorite stage in Melee is actually Onnit. If you play me on Onnit, I'm just gonna whoop you.
Oh really?
So
I'm gonna put the kibosh on this face off right now, and I am instead gonna say, why don't we start and lead into some Smash 3DS impressions? We have it in the office this week. This is a big deal. You're gonna find a bunch of videos on the site slowly doled out over the next couple of days, and Per is laughing at me.
I'm laughing because we just told Toaf that if you ever go off topic, it actually causes Jose
physical pain.
That was the topic. We're talking about the topic.
Topic.
We're talking about Smash. Forget it.
No, it's all good.
So let's go. Impressions around the table. Uh-huh. We have all played it on and off. By the way, for folks, if you are a platinum member of Club Nintendo, you may have a chance to get a couple of codes.
Yeah,
four codes actually.
Cool. Got announced today.
If you registered,
check your email
games,
right now.
If you registered enough games between June of 2013 and June of 2014 and reach platinum status on Club Nintendo, they mailed out four codes today. I got four of them.
I didn't get any. What the
really?
Hell? Yeah.
Oh.
Are you registering games though?
I gave mine away. They're all gone.
Oh, nice. It happened quick. How, all right. Very nice.
I was in a meeting room with a bunch of people, and I was like, I got four codes, and they were gone in seconds.
So all right, so impressions. Let's but, get so, back
by,
on
by the way, Sam, that's another example of the thing you were talking about with he.
Totally. So Sam, you'll get used to it.
Okay.
So Sam actually setting up a page if people have excess codes. If you use one and you want to give three away, he's setting up a page where you can just comment and leave the codes in comments. Yeah. Be really nice if you help others out who didn't get any codes.
Absolutely. All right.
So look for that.
It's a good guy.
Yeah. So
impressions.
So Smash.
Yeah, impressions.
Yeah,
it's very smooth.
That was the first thing that I noticed when I started to play. I was expecting it to not run as nicely as it does.
Yeah.
Start and you're like, oh, wow, that's like buttery smooth. Yeah. And then you turn up the 3D slider and you expect it to take a little bit of a hit, but it runs great.
Yeah, that's one thing I didn't try. I actually did not try the 3D.
Oh, yeah?
It never occurred to me. I usually play the 3DS just with the 3D off because...
A lot of folks do. Yeah.
But except for maybe cutscenes or something, you know.
Sure. So the version we played, we have a U.S. version, but certain things are locked because Nintendo doesn't want stuff to get out early. Obviously, everything's already out.
But on stream, we were clear for folks that we couldn't show any of the characters that were basically confirmed during live streams two nights ago.
Yeah.
Where basically, if you've been keeping up with the news, the leaks were real. If you don't know what the leaks are, you don't know what that is.
Maybe that's for the better if you don't know. Then you still have the hype preserved intact.
Absolutely.
For you.
Yeah.
Which is basically impossible these days. But yeah.
So it definitely controls right. I feel like at E3 when I first played it, I was telling Toph about this, but I basically had to kind of rewire my brain.
And that was when I met Jose too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just rewiring and trying to figure out wrapping my brain from the from the GameCube controller to the 3DS. Mm-hmm. And it's not just about the button layout and because if you play Brawl, you know the Pro Controller layout like that. It sort of mirrors how you play it on 3DS.
Yeah.
But I felt like. The smaller buttons at that, right? Mm-hmm. And just having to hold a compact device and yet still have to put in precise input was something that took me a little getting used to. Second time I got to play it a couple months ago, I felt a lot more comfortable. I've been playing the build we have in the office. In Japan, they released a demo before they released it here. And it was just open on the eShop. I'm pretty sure the week that game's coming out, by the way, here, they'll make that demo open to everyone. So if you're listening now and you didn't get codes, hang on to hope. That thing's probably coming here regardless, right?
For sure.
They did the same thing, I think, with Tomodachi Life to an extent.
Why would they create this demo and then not get it out to as many people as
possible, right?
Yeah. Because this is a game that you can proudly show off. Like, everybody who's played Smash Brothers in the past and is worried about how you replicate that on a handheld, it's gonna play the demo and go like, oh, okay,
that was my first impression when I played it on the showroom floor at E3. I was like, okay, this is gonna be weird. I'm not used to. I really like the GameCube controller. I think it's like, I think one of my happiest moments in the time period leading up to the E3 Smash Bros. Invitational was when they announced the GameCube controller adapter, and I was like, yes,
oh yeah,
I would, because like the whole like Wiimote concept of sideways Wiimote controls, like it's just like lacking compared to like how like just ergonomically perfect the GameCube controller feels.
Yep.
So I'm going into the 3DS version, and I'm like, man, this is gonna be weird. And I remember like halfway through my first match, I was like, huh. This is, like, surprisingly intuitive. And I was like, okay, I feel like I'm playing Smash. And this is fine.
Yeah.
And so, I think they did a really good job with, like, you know, all the, like, limitations that a handheld might offer. I think they worked around it.
Yeah.
Well, and especially custom controls, right, which they had not talked about leading into this. And I guess we should have expected, because being able to configure your controller sort of any way you want has been a part of Smash Brothers for a bit, right?
Even in Brawl
specifically, like, you were able to sort of replace inputs and kind of tailor the controls to how you want to play the game. 3DS version has that, and that's cool because you can switch things around and make better use of the space that you're using.
You switch L and R, right?
I switch L and R. I mean, to me, it makes
perfect context,
sense.
What did L and R do before you switched them?
It used to be that, and this is the only thing I've switched. L was for grab, and R was for shield. And like, if you've played, Melee or Brawl, I mean, you're using your right index finger to grab most of the time. You got the Z button, you know, that's how you grab. So, I mean, for me, it makes perfect sense to put, and I personally use the L button to shield. Mm-hmm. Although you can use, on the GameCube controller, you use either L or R.
That's right.
I use L to shield, and then I think, like most people, I use Z to grab. So to me, it makes perfect sense to put grab on R.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then keep L as the shield.
Yep.
So,
gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the other question about, it felt good. It felt responsive. It felt fast. Controls made sense.
Yeah.
The one thing is, how long can you hold the DS versus a GameCube controller, which was really nice and ergonomic. Right,
right.
That's my only worry. Like, I do get hand cramps playing some 3DS games for a long time. It's a little better on the XL. So that's the thing I haven't done yet, is to really get lost in Smash Brothers and play for hours.
For a while, yeah.
You wanted to jump in.
Yeah, no, I'm just, I think, like, all in all, I was, a bunch of people could hear me in the office, like, very audibly being like, holy crap, like, they pulled it off.
Yeah.
It doesn't... I'm an old school, like, Nintendo guy. I grew up playing Nintendo games that started making their ways to handhelds in very weird formats, right? Like, kind of smaller versions of Super Mario Brothers and Legend of Zelda that was sort of like, oh, it's only in four colors and the world's a little smaller and stuff. And you got used to handheld versions of Nintendo games being sort of like smaller affairs. And mm-hmm.
Watered down.
And this felt like Smash Bros.
Yeah.
Like, the presentation, they nailed it. The menus are awesome. The characters are great. The animation's really good. The graphics are incredible. Like,
oh, yeah.
I was just floored at how much they were able to pull off on this little handheld.
Yeah, it's this is Smash.
To piggyback that, like, a lot of modes, right?
Oh,
classic
my God,
mode, All-Star mode, really cool All-Star mode, because you're basically playing through Nintendo history, and every time you beat sort of a stage, you're warped to this area where you can sort of recover health, and they're not replenishable, right? If you use a health item, it's gone. So you want to be careful and watch your damage percentage.
Yep.
But also, just traveling through the eras of Nintendo history.
Yeah, it shows you the actual year when those characters came out. It's like, okay, 1985, 1986, now you're fighting
Samus. And I love
Samus
that stuff.
Yeah,
I love that stuff so much.
What blows
me
away, too, is it's very minimalist presentation, right? Like, they're not doing a fancy cutscene or doing, like,
it's
some
not
sort
in
of
your
transition
face.
In
yeah.
between. Yeah, they're not waving nostalgia in front of you. Yes, they do label a door that says, hey, you're about to play all the characters from 1986 to 1990, something like that. I may have that stat wrong. But I do love that it has an effect on you, especially if you appreciate the nostalgia, if you were a part of this growing up. And that, I think, is a testament, right? You don't have to dress it up super pretty to make it something that people are going to be talking about. They actually did it without any of that.
Like, I actually I got geeked out by the notion of just putting the 3D slider up and checking out all the trophies and just rotating them and spinning them around and being like, wow, that's the bottom of Link's foot. That's so cool.
That's what you get excited about.
Yeah, little things like that. Hey, they put them in the game for people like me, okay?
Yeah, no, I mean, they introduced trophies in Melee, right? And it was like, I mean, I think as far as the whole nostalgia thing goes, I wonder, like, Smash 64 didn't really have a whole lot of that stuff. You know, it was just about the combat.
Yeah.
And then in Melee, that's when they really, like, they put in the unique descriptions for all the trophies. And then they're like, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure a lot of my friends didn't care about that sort of stuff. But, like, for me personally, I was like, oh, my God. You know, and you're going through and reading. And they have trophies for games that only came out in Japan. And you're like, oh, interesting. You find out about, you know, like,
the
for example,
Detective Club. Detective Club was one of them.
Uh-huh.
Or like they'd be like, "Hey, look, it's the paddle from Clue Clue Land." And I'm like, "I gotta play that game.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is."
Famicom disk system.
Yeah,
had the mascot and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah,
it was like a real museum. And you know, unlike obviously we know a bunch of stuff about Nintendo because we've been playing their games since the beginning and all that, but I found so many things I didn't know just in the descriptions. They really took great care.
Yeah.
So, you know, looking forward to doing all that again in the 3DS.
Yeah, me too.
Now.
It's actually one of my favorite things about that game. I mean, personally, being one of the top Smash players in the world.
Right.
And commentators.
After I very easily dominate the Masters League of Smash players, I like to bask in trophies and history.
Out of the first village in Pokemon. I just want to put it in context for you.
I think the fish did that. If you were following Fish Plays Pokemon, I think that's about the level the fish was at.
Fish did
better than me.
The fish beat the rival. That's crazy. But anyway, go on.
So some criticisms, though. The menus feel everything's a little bit too separated to me. Like, I really wish there was a way to choose between solo and group play and then just be able to travel through what modes I want
to
play.
Mm-hmm.
And
that makes
right
sense
now
to me
it's
too.
All separated in a way that, like, okay, you want co-op Smash Run, go to Smash Run first, then go to group.
Yeah.
Mm. If you want to do this,
I noticed.
Go to that and go to solo. Go that and go. Everything's separated.
Yeah, I noticed the same thing. It's I don't know, maybe this is an unfair assessment of it, but I think – like my impression, okay, so there's the main screen it says Smash, it says Smash Run, and then you've got games and more. And for example, to get to classic mode, to get to all-star mode, to get to the options, those are all under games and more. And I'm looking at the main screen, and I'm like, where are the options? And I look at games and more, and to me, games and more off in the corner means mini games.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what that sounds like. Yeah, I'm yeah. like, the options are in there? And yeah. then yeah. right in the middle of the screen is Smash Run. And I'm like, huh. So my initial impression is like, damn, these, like, Nintendo really wants me to play Smash Run. Like,
yeah.
it feels like they're, yeah. they're, it feels like they're like, I don't want to say artificially, but it feels like with the menu, they're like kind of telling me which modes they're focusing on, which is cool and all, but like, I don't know. I mean, in a way, it feels a little forced almost. Yeah. So, you know, yeah. whatever. It's cool. You get used to menus, you know, but I think it's yeah. a really valid point.
But there are also other places where I feel they get it right, where like in UI for character customization, it's yeah. very easy to just hit the R button and test the character right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's a quick transition, and it feels thoughtful in some ways, but also a little bit scattered in others, I guess is
so
what I'm trying to say.
I think they're still struggling with UI. I think Nintendo still makes that mistake where they push something to the forefront that they want you to do, right? Like
yeah.
in Mario Kart, they really want you to discover that you can share stuff, right?
Yeah.
In Mario Kart, so when a race ends, instead of letting you go to the next race,
right.
it goes into the share thing by default, right?
By like, default.
And of course, they address that kind of stuff over time, but that's how the game launched. And I feel like they need to figure out a way to be more comfortable with players actually exploring their games to the fullest when they shelled out 50 yeah. bucks and more, right?
100%.
And maybe having like some tooltips that pop up and say like, hey, did you know you can share blah, 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 instead of making you do it, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Right. It's the same
with
Smash Brothers.
It feels like you're being handheld.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, and it's funny to me. I mean, the way I look at it, we were talking about this a little bit at lunch, how like, I think one of the great things about a lot of the Nintendo games that have really stood the test of time is like how many different ways you can play them. I mean, like, so I'm from the, you know, the Melee scene where you know, I go to tournaments on the weekend where I play a 12-year-old video game, you know, on CRT TVs. And, like, we, you know, at Evo, for example, you know, kind of like the premier, like, fighting game tournament, like, we had, you know, Melee being in there, even after Brawl had been, you know, out of the circuit, was, like, unprecedented. Like,
yeah.
there had never been an example of a fighting game, of an older iteration of a fighting game coming in and being featured on the main stage at Evo. And I think, like, and things like Awesome Games Done Quick and stuff in the summer, like the whole speedrunning community, I think that's like a real testament to like Nintendo's ability when they want to create these like really long-lasting games that stand the test of time. And like I think the great thing about games like that, you know, if you want to look at the, you know, games from like Super Nintendo era and what have you, there's so many different ways to play it. And like everyone gets into their own little way of like how they want to play the game. One of my good friends plays the hell out of Kirby's Air Ride, but he's all down with the whole like the city trials and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And,
sure,
and which actually kind of reminds me of Smash Run in a lot of ways.
Yeah,
I think
yeah,
there's
it
a lot
is.
Of
yeah.
Fun
totally.
Right?
I mean, yeah, Kirby's Air Ride is it's got tons of Smash Brothers stuff sort of woven around it. The game itself isn't very fun, but a lot of the stuff that's in there, like the open
area is cool, right?
Yeah,
like,
and the way you unlock things, the menu, the interface is totally Smash Brothers. Like,
yeah,
totally.
It's Hal. Yeah.
Well, it's totally Sakurai's mark too.
Yeah,
I guess, right.
Yeah.
You can look at the games he's directed, and he's slowly just refining a certain style of the way he presents information to you.
Right.
I do want to sort of cut off the 3DS impressions soon for the game because we're going on for a little bit, but I do want to end with online modes. So this morning I was able to download the Japanese version because it's out in Japan on September 13th. It's Friday here. It's Saturday there. And I played with a friend of the show, Kyle, in Japan, and over the internet, Wi-Fi, surprisingly smooth. Now, we were doing one-on-one matches.
One-on-one with Japan, here.
With Japan from here.
That's crazy.
Items on, items off, just, you
have
know,
you,
kind of
have you
around.
Played Brawl online?
It's been a long time.
Brawl online was not... Smooth is not the word you'd use.
No. Yeah. I've had issues,
Yeah, one of the folks behind that actually, you know, was on the show, and he works here. He's head of our product team. We've had him on before, and he said, yeah, there were some mistakes there. But it seems this time around... Now, granted, I haven't put in enough time with four-player modes. I was able to put in one match. There is slight input lag in one-on-one. Like, let's not oversell this, right? Like, with any Twitch, like, action-type game, when it goes online, you are going to get just a little bit of lag, but it seems to deal with it really well. It still feels really smooth, and we had a blast.
So the big question, I think, I mean, the new 3DS, I feel like, is being created in response to a whole bunch of things, right?
Yes.
Like, and one of those things is definitely Smash Brothers. You know, just the thought of putting a second analog nub on it. We talked about that, right? Like some people like to use the C-stick and all that. So Is the other response with the you know, more efficient internet connections, faster speeds? Do you think that's in response to some of the things they encountered with?
The Wi-Fi protocol
with,
is better. Also, one of the things that came out this morning was that you know, Smash seems to be running the current 3DS to its limit.
Yeah.
And so something like posting on Miiverse, like jumping out of a game to put up a screenshot, which is something some of us do on Wii U, definitely. Not maybe as many. We were having a little bit debate in this room earlier as to who does it at this panel. But it can't do that. And so other games that can't do that are Monster Hunter 4 and Pokemon X and Y.
Yeah.
And I think Nintendo's maybe part of this hardware update, and we said this earlier, it's not just Amiibo. It's maybe also that they're kind of seeing, okay, we've kind of tapped the potential of this thing. We're grafting on ideas like Miiverse and other stuff. Maybe we need to beef this thing up so that people will play it.
And that's why I'm hoping, too, that I'm hoping that some of this, you know, the new hardware changes that they packed into the new 3DS are in response to actually testing games like Smash Brothers online and running into the limitations, right? Like, I mean, there are no Nintendo games really where you can play and talk at the same time, right? Yeah. Some of that is because they want to protect you against meeting the evil strangers, but some of that is technical limitation. Like, they let you talk to your friends in a lobby. Why don't they let you talk to a friend in a game? And I got to think, you know, this kind of stuff all paves the path towards better games and better online integration like that.
Just infrastructure-wise, literally.
Yeah.
It seems right, is what I was about to say.
It is interesting. I mean, like, already they're you know, as people are exploring the Japanese version, they're finding all these little, you can't do that screens, right? Like, the one you just mentioned is where it says, sorry, you can't post to Miiverse at the same time as playing, but then they said on Miiverse you can do it on the new 3DS. There were other things, right? Like the connection to the Wii U.
Oh, yeah, that came out this morning. Yeah. On the UI, on the first, after you press start button and you look at the main UI for Smash 3DS, there is a little fan for Street Pass, and then to the right of it is to connect to Wii U.
Yeah.
And in the version that we have in the office, it other than
sneakily
the connection,
is missing.
Yeah. Other than the ability to connect, there is no text that suggests what it says in Japan.
Yeah.
Where it says you can connect and transfer character data. Yeah. We knew that. But you may also be able to use 3DS as a controller.
As a controller.
Yeah. It says you can connect. So the Japanese, I read it this morning, says you can connect your 3DS to the Wii U to share customized characters. So that's one thing. And then the second is, or use the 3DS as a controller. Which is, I mean, it's an interesting, it's cool that they're supporting it. I don't know how many people would jump on that.
If you don't have, you know, enough controllers for everybody.
That's the
definitely
thing,
a thing,
right? So you're going over to your friend's house and you don't want to use a sideways Wii remote or something,
right,
and the guy doesn't have enough Pro controllers or GameCube controllers, then it's a good option.
Well, I think it's also smart because they're going to train people to play the new Smash Brothers game on a 3DS few months. And
that's the other thing.
I mean, I know what you guys do. You latch onto something and stay with it forever.
Exactly.
So maybe,
dude,
like 4 months from now, you'll be like, I don't even need that game controller.
Hey, if it ain't broke, you know, that's how the saying goes.
Exactly. A couple months from now, it might be like, I'm a pro on the 3DS on a 3DS. I can only play like that, and if I'm gonna play on the Wii U, I gotta keep going like this.
It also paves the road for I don't know why I keep on saying paves the road. It also opens up the opportunity to go at a tournament. I'm totally fine. Go to a tournament where everybody brings their own 3DS,
and you make
one tournament the requirement that you use your customized character and everybody connects with the 3DS.
With the 3DS.
Could be really cool.
Or if the tournament organizer wants to run the Wii U version and the 3DS version, for example, you can bring your 3DS and you're set for both.
Yeah.
But a big question right now, at least one that I'm seeing a couple of times in the communities, are, is the 3DS built to really withstand continued play from Smash Brothers 3DS? Because it is,
can handle Mario.
If you know,
as a Melee player, how many controllers do you go through?
Okay, I've been through a lot of controllers. That said,
play
Fox.
Underwater.
I play Fox.
Oh, I see.
So say a slower character like Peach. I know I have friends that play Peach that have used the same controller for years and years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I suspect. Well, time will tell. I suspect that with the 3DS it might be fine, because like a lot of like the really, really like the inputs on the GameCube controller that like, okay, I mean, you know the difference between you've played the first Mario Party and then you've played the subsequent ones and how they took out a lot of the inputs that like
destroy the stakes.
Like, they didn't want to mail gloves to children. And
that's right.
Right, exactly.
Kids had bloody hands.
right. So without getting too in-depth, I mean, in terms of like the density of like inputs you have to do.
Yeah.
Melee to Smash 4 is probably similar to like Mario Party 1 versus the other ones. Like, they smoothed out, and they made it less stressful for the controller. I think my impression is the 3DS will be fine. Mm-hmm. But again, you know, we'll see.
Yeah. Nintendo products, too, are pretty sturdy, pretty right? I mean, there's a lot of research developed that goes into DS hinges aside.
Yeah.
You know, right. they've been pretty good at it. So let's hope that it'll stand up and withstand the abuse. All right.
I'm just curious. I mean, one more thing. Mm-hmm. Since you've played all the Smash Brothers games, right? And, like, which one's your favorite in the series?
I mean, right now it's definitely Melee. You know, I've kind of messed with all. Melee was also kind of the one that, like, started the whole tournament scene.
Right.
Like Smash 64, I think there were tournaments, but it was Melee that really, like, launched the, the national tournament scene and all that stuff.
And other things now in 3DS where you wish 3DS had harkened back to Melee and brought back some of the elements from it?
Well,
is it closer to Brawl,
like,
or is it a mix? Like, what does it feel like to you?
Right. I mean, that was one of the – so that was actually, like, an interesting point of contention when at E3 and, like, especially comparing the current build to, like, E3, the E3 build actually felt really close to Brawl. Mm-hmm. For a lot of the players, you know, it was like, huh, the Brawl in general has, like, just kind of, like, laggier, slower moves than, because, you know, I mean, the whole thing they were going for, right, was, like, they introduced tripping and they introduced these elements that kind of made it more casual oriented, and so they took out some of, like, the really intense stuff. And at the E3, you know, without getting into too much detail, the Smash 4 at E3 felt like, huh, it's still like when you do a move, you got a lot of lag after it. You know, you hit the ground after you've done an aerial move and you can't move for a while. So they kind of took out the combo ability and stuff. And I was messing around with the build today and I was like, huh, a lot of the freedom I used to feel in Melee is back. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I felt like they might have taken the competitive crowd's input, which I think is great because, I mean, I think it just, like, it feels better just to move around the stage and just to, you know, to fight my opponents now. Mm-hmm. I mean, certainly there's elements in, there's little unique mechanics in each game that differ. And yeah, I mean, I'm probably going to always say that I think Melee is one of the greatest fighting games of all time.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, they definitely dialed the I don't know what's the word I'm looking for. The feel of the game is like it's back to, I think, a level where both casual and competitive players will be able to appreciate the new Smash game.
So you think it's like in between the two when it comes
it's
to, like, responsiveness, twitch factor kind of.
Yeah. I mean, essentially what I want to feel is like when you get a hit in Melee or a grab, you feel like I can really mess this guy up.
Yeah.
And in Brawl, they kind of took that out. Like, a lot of the time you'll get a hit and, like, it sends the opponent too far away.
Mm-hmm.
And if you knock them off the stage in Brawl, it's very easy for most characters to come back kind of for free. They took out a lot of the risk reward factor, and they made it a slower game. A lot of people will tell you that it's not as much of a spectator game, which I think is why, you know, it's not as big on the, you know, like Evo. It wasn't an Evo and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think Smash 4 is going to be a lot more fun to watch as a spectator game, and I think more fun to play too. So
it's good.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's take a quick break, and when we come back, some news and a quick question for you guys, actually, but more when we return. Welcome back. Jose Otero is here along with Brian Altano, Per Schneider, and special guest Toph.
So,
thank you for joining us again.
Thank you for having me.
Before we were recording, we kind of ended up in a mini debate on Miiverse on 3DS. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, okay, well, Smash doesn't support it. I think this is kind of a loss because it's fun to post screenshots and stuff. Do you guys use Miiverse on 3DS?
No.
You mostly use it on Wii U?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Toph, where do you
fall in this
camp?
I don't really.
I use it on both. So
I don't even. No, I haven't really messed with the Miiverse on the 3DS.
Okay. Couple of reasons for me.
Okay, let's hear it.
I get a lot of gameplay done when I'm traveling. You know, I take my 3DS with me, usually not on a Wi-Fi connection.
Yep,
and so the times when I'm at home, you know, I've got every console. I play a lot of console games at home. And the times where I play 3DS where I want to be social and share are very limited.
Sounds like an excuse, though. I mean, you also play your portable at home, too. No?
Not that much. I do, but not.
I mirror his sentiments exactly.
Yeah.
Like, I'm double mirroring both of your centers.
You do. That's
is
a reverse
mirror. Is that how the math
mirror.
Works out?
I think so. Yeah. Like if you're each a mirror. Well, I guess one mirror can have two. Forget
you just got.
I'm with you. Yeah, yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, basically, I'll play on the road a lot predominantly, but I will also play at home. But when I'm at home, it's like it's just not even really a thing that's in the back of my mind is to go check the Miiverse for a game I'm playing.
It's also slow. I mean, that's the thing.
That's right.
Like, that's the big thing. Yeah. It's just not – it's not enticing. You know, it's like sometimes when the Wii U first came out and you had to wait forever for certain menus, I actively started to avoid those sections.
Yeah.
Just sitting there wasn't fun, right?
Yeah, you kind of have to be patient with it on the system. Yep. And it seems like that's going to be the benefit of new 3DS.
New 3DS
will fix
load
that stuff a lot quicker.
Yep.
What about on Wii U?
What kind of stuff do you share? Do you like shout at people angrily?
No, just screens. Like something, whatever I'm playing. If something strikes me as a thought, I just kind of toss it out there. And it depends on, obviously, it depends on if I'm home because you can't do it on the road. And that's sort of the limitation there. Absolutely, that makes sense. But I do like, I think video games are inherently very social today, more than ever, because of being able to share them either on Miiverse or on Twitter or on Facebook. Well, not really Facebook. I don't do anything gaming related on Facebook. I feel like that is a part of my identity that I don't really want to put there. I'd rather,
Wayne.
Be, Batman?
Facebook Bruce Wayne.
Twitter. Yeah, whereas on Twitter, because of my job, you know, there's a following that obviously is there about video games. So I feel like that's more accessible. Whereas if, you know, I put it on Facebook, you know, what, people from high school may be my financial thing, but like, what about aunts, uncles, and other family? Like, I just don't really wave that around.
Different. But your uncle's not on Miiverse every day on 3DS?
Wow. But you don't do it either. And you don't do it. None of you do, actually. You guys posting gaming-related stuff on Facebook, really? Outside of maybe the Smash?
Not that much.
Nintendo,
you know,
Boy Chef Facebook?
And I've accepted a lot of friend invites from people who are fans of this show, and I feel a little bad for them because they're probably expecting a little bit more gaming information, but it's usually usually pictures of beer full and empty beer glasses
and funny stories about your kids and
stories about my crazy kids. But sorry.
But I mean, the real question is what kind of beer do you like?
I love them too, actually. No, I'm sorry, you were saying,
I said the real question is what kind of beer do you like?
Oh, I'm German, man. So I drink a lot of different beers from Germany. I'm actually really happy with a lot of the microbrews here in California. And I was born in Cologne. Cologne is famous for its Kölsch, which is, by the way, not the best beer in the world. It's like an easy drinking summer ale.
Okay.
So there's Cali Kölsch, for example. What is it called now? It's called Cali Coast now in the U.S.
Me.
That's really good.
No,
you should try it.
Okay.
Yeah, Cali Coast.
Cali Coast.
Two dots on the O.
Sure.
Try it.
I've seen that.
Hey, it's not my favorite, but it's good.
So before we dive into news, I actually want to hear a little bit more about
By the way, you just did what he hates.
I let it ride.
Beer,
I didn't try to
likes beer.
No,
he likes,
it isn't that.
So he likes beer. He doesn't like going off topic. It balances out, and we're completely new.
Yeah, we're back where we're supposed to be.
You know that beer is 125 years old.
Are you really going to do this right now?
Okay. All right, go.
All right, cool. So back to you, Toph. I just want to hear a little bit more about your Smash career. I mean, you started in 2008 as a competitor, right? I mean, what drove you to want to be a competitor in that scene? Because this is years after was established.
Right. Yeah. I mean, okay. So it was the way I got started. I mean, it was really interesting. Like, this ties into the thing we were talking about just now about how gaming is so social now, right? Mm-hmm. So I started in college, and this was right after actually Brawl came out. I actually got into competitive Smash because I was hanging out with some friends and Brawl was on the horizon, and some of my friends were talking about like, the new game. So it was just like how right now we're getting a sneak preview of, you know, the Japanese version before it drops and stuff like that, or 2 days ago. In a similar vein, I guess, some guy at the University of Washington, went to school in Seattle, had imported the Japanese game, and he was putting on a tournament. So I went to that. I met a bunch of the Smash players at my college, and they were really, really cool people. And I actually entered a tournament, and it was Brawl, and no one had ever played Brawl before, and I beat one of the guys that ended up being one of my best friends today, Vish, who's a Falcon player in Melee. I beat him in that Brawl tournament, and and it was like, I was like, oh my God. And it just felt really good. I was like, wow, like this is really cool. I'm playing with people I've never met. They're really good. You know, everyone's playing different characters. And it's just it was a really vibrant scene with a lot of really different types of people.
So it was like when Superman first like jumps and you say, why did I jump so far? Like, you discovered your abilities.
I don't want to, because it was really more like, just because it was like such a new game and such a different game, it was a very level playing field. You know what I mean?
So there wasn't like a moment where it's like, I've got the power. Like, you're like, your hair goes all like,
I really want someone
Super
to turn that
and stuff.
Turn that into a ringtone, it, please.
Mm-hmm. Let's just go with that.
All right.
Go with that, right.
I feel like you saw a really weird version of Superman.
when he goes Super Saiyan?
Says, I got the power.
Superman goes Super Saiyan and says,
it'll happen. Panda must make it happen.
Too much beer for
please
you.
Do that.
Yeah. Too much of that Cali Coke.
So then how difficult was it for you to enter that scene, being so much later? You sort of looped around the melee.
This is basically how it went. I mean, I went to that brawl tournament. I met all the guys who played Smash on the campus, and we had these weekly meetups just at the dorms where we would play Smash Bros., both melee and brawl. And it was like – it was becoming apparent, you know, as I got into it, like, you know, like – we played a lot of Brawl, but we also played Melee, and it was like, wow, you know, this game is actually not going away because, you know, the games were so different that the people who enjoyed Melee wanted to stick with it. And that's kind of the interesting thing about Melee is, like, Melee players, like, love to do nothing more than just sit down and play Melee. So that's what we did, and I mean, like, it was a weird time, too, and it taught me a lot about, like, just building, like, not social networks in the Facebook, Twitter form of the word, but building a community. Because back then, you know, the tournament scene in 2008 was much, much smaller than it is now. Mm-hmm. And building the scene from like kind of like a really grassroots to where we are now was like a really interesting challenge. And it just taught me a lot about, you know, the way people interact with each other and stuff. Sure. So it was just neat. I mean, some of the best friends I ever made, you know, were from that world.
Well, and self-streaming and making sort of that technology becoming easier had to have helped all the tournament scenes just sort of kind of build up and be a lot more special, right?
Yeah.
Then it turned out that anyone can really stream from home if you just bought the right equipment and got to know the right people or read the right forums.
But for you, is this now a full-time job? Do you have a job and you just do this on the side? And how do you balance that?
Right. No, I absolutely have a job. I'm actually a software developer. I work at I just started at a new company like 2 weeks ago.
Congrats.
Yeah, called a great company called Shopular in Redwood City. Please check us out. We have an amazing mobile app.
Cool.
Told my boss I would plug the company somewhere, some form.
Company plugged.
Yeah, but no, it's dope. I mean, in a lot of ways, being involved in something that isn't gaming has also really widened my perspective on things. Because like, so I went to Japan for a year, and I literally went on a programming internship. I went, and I just, but while I was over there, it was cool because I was like, okay, well, you know, I play Smash. Let me try to sync up with the Japanese Smash scene.
Yeah.
And immediately like that, I went online, you know, and met some people, and they were like, yeah, come over, blah, blah, blah. And then immediately I had this whole like network of people that like were very welcoming. And like, I got to experience, you know, like Japan from the way a Japanese person would experience, because I'd go hang out with them, and it was like,
welcome.
This great, right. And suddenly, you know, there were all these places I could go and stay the weekend at this guy's house in Kyoto or something like that. And it was
And it's pretty much well documented too that the Japanese fighting game community for across any game, Smash, Street Fighter, it's very polite. You know, like you lose to someone and that guy might come over and say, hey, so you're doing this right, you're doing this right, you're doing this wrong. Yeah. You should definitely work on that. Like that's what I've heard is sort of communicated. It's not as arrogant as some of the sort of fighting game community can be over here. And I'm not saying that's true of Smash, because I feel like the Smash community is probably the most welcoming I've seen.
Yeah.
But sort of the air of, well, I'm the best, tends to poison a little bit of that atmosphere here.
It's...
Oh, did I do
Brian
that?
Brian.
I was totally
I don't feel poisoned at all. And when you climb to the top of the ranks, it's really easy.
No, as the world champion. As the world champion in Smash Brothers.
As the world champion, right.
I tell a lot of this as a...
Or as it were, the haters can't see you.
Exactly. Like, I mean, I remember being in some of the more regional scenes, I dealt with that, but on a global scale, it's really you can't touch this.
Everyone, right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
So no, like you know, it's definitely speaking first about you know Smash compared to other fighters, I definitely do think that like, you know, it's funny back in like when I was first getting into Smash, you know, the Smash community, with respect to the greater the FGC or the fighting game community, they would always each individual game like fighting game community has its like. Stereotype, and the Smash's stereotype was that our players were younger, but I think like and which used to be the case back in 2007, 2008.
Yeah. When you guys fought for the respect, because also the fighting
people
game
didn't consider it.
Yeah, Smash was not a fighting game.
It was like, oh, this is a party game, and it's like, well, no, guys. Like, if you want to look at how you have to think to be good at the game, it's the exact same mentality.
Mm-hmm.
But so yeah, I mean, I think the community.
I remember all that. That was no.
I remember having to fight for that.
You know, it was difficult.
Down.
No, I do remember that when people didn't take it seriously because of the presentation of it, and I feel like it was because it had like ridiculous cartoon characters.
Exactly.
Which literally every other fighting game has too. But I think it was like the items and stuff like that, and then you guys found
percentage
a way to,
instead of a life bar.
Yeah, all that stuff. It was just sort of breaking through this mold of what people's preconceived notion of what a fighting game should be.
Yeah,
and that's why I always love Smash Brothers, because I feel like Smash Brothers, the one on 64 came sort of on the heels of this era of this oversaturated fighting game market. Like so many games came to the 16-bit era, especially me being an arcade kid. Yeah, there was just so much, right? You couldn't go to an arcade for a few years without seeing just every game was a fighting game, and it just got really absurd. And I feel like it sort of peaked on the N64. Like the N64 era had like Clay Fighter and
Deadly Arts.
Yeah. Oh my god! Yeah, all these like
awful,
just like
War God,
just the worst. And then Smash Brothers came out, and I was like, this is totally different,
dude. It's crazy. Like to come. No, I think to like make a game like Smash where it's like a game like Smash that's both familiar and really unfamiliar is like it's
very
really rare.
Yeah, like Power Stone did it too, where you take an established genre and you kind of bend it a little bit.
Yep.
And Smash Brothers just did it such a different way. Just the concept of the percentage damage and the outs and all that. I mean, they really changed it.
I mean,
it could have easily been just more of a platformer fighting game where you just knock somebody out, but they didn't do that.
And there's a life bar. You know, and consider this. I mean, I think a lot of, you know, especially like non-competitive players have never even thought of all the implications. Like, okay, consider this. Like, when I attack you and you have your percentage, it's low or it's high, mm-hmm. you're going to fly further at a higher percent.
Mm-hmm.
And if I hit you at a lower percent, okay, maybe, but now maybe since you didn't fly as far away, I can link into a combo or something. I can follow up, you mm-hmm. know, you don't fly as far, so I can, you know, hit you across the stage and then end with my finisher. Whereas if you were already at a high percent, I hit you and you fly so far away I can't do anything. But then that's what I want when I'm trying to kill you. So, you know, when I'm trying to actually get the KO. So there's all these little implications that, like, the whole percentage system brought up that is like, whoa, you know, no one from, like, if you're playing a life bar fighting game where every move always sends the opponent the same distance, you're not used to that. And you're not used to thinking of the, like, the mind gamey implications of where that mm-hmm. takes the competitive crowd.
Yeah.
And so the people that, like, you know, were like, oh, Smash is just a party game. Well, yeah, it's different. But I mean, there were, and I think a lot of these things were like, I'm not even sure how much of it was like planned. I mean, there were a lot of aspects of like Smash 64 and Melee and that were like a happy little accident, like how well things worked out, to create like a really rich experience. Like the way I just talked about how percentages, it wasn't just, okay, this is how I KO my opponent. I got to hit them a bunch and then they fly away. It's, oh my goodness, like there's this whole organic aspect to, they are literally going to, my interaction with my opponent is different based on what both of our percentages are.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely unlike how life bars work, you know?
I get the sense that the development process for Melee was like obsession. Like those guys were just playing, tweaking.
You read the blog
back
like
and forth.
Sakurai.
Yeah, and it's just insane, right? And it's like the final product just shows you like some of that stuff I'm sure they stumbled upon, right? Like they made a change to someone, they're like, oh my God, like it completely changes the feel of it, and then they stuck with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's really interesting, I think. Such a unique game. People who think it's shallow and simple really haven't played it.
The crazy thing is, I mean, it's like you can watch – I can watch like a video of like tournament matches for Melee from 2 years ago. And this is after the game's already been out for 10 years. And I'll watch a match from now and there's like the metagame is actually still – it's still developing. Like people mm-hmm. are still getting better. And it's like, oh my goodness. Like we have not even – and then you want to talk about there's like one-on-one, there's teams too, and people are still getting better at like the whole teamwork aspect. And that's another thing that's not in traditional fighting games. Like the whole, you know, free-for-alls, teams.
Yep.
It's completely I still think the surface hasn't been scratched. So
someone listening to this podcast right now who wants to get into the Smash competitive scene, give them like three pieces of advice right now.
I think, you know, for the cool thing about like these days, the way if you want to find like your local like tournament scene, it's really easy to go on Facebook. If you say, for example, if you live in, you know, you live in the Bay Area, you can go on Facebook, search like NorCal, I think NorCal Melee or NorCal Brawl, or, you know, I'm not sure if the So I guess since the game is just coming out, I'm not sure if the Smash 4 scenes exist yet. But mm-hmm. yeah, like it's really go on Facebook and find your regional groups. Usually it's pretty easy to find. Check out like Melee It On Me is the team I'm on. Melee It On Me podcast group. We do a bi-weekly podcast.
I saw his T-shirt. He was wearing it the other day.
Good
awesome
stuff.
T-shirt. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love the Falcon logo helmet.
It's pretty cool.
Very cool.
Yeah. We're pretty much like a kind of a community hub for right now the focus is on Melee, especially with like our Melee's existence in like the Evo and MLG like tournament scene, mm-hmm. but also like Smash 4 content's going to be on there. Please check out like smashboards.com too, a community hub that has like that'll give you all like character specific information. And so there's just like a wealth of information out there, like both regards to like people you can meet in your local scene and also like how to get better at the game in general.
That's cool. Great.
All right. So yeah. Cool. So let's talk about some news then.
Time for some news.
Start with that some 3DS XLs are coming to the West apparently. Nintendo announced them the other day. And it was really surprising,
yeah,
because we sort of, once the new 3DS got announced, we all sort of sat around and said, what is going to entice people
to buy
a 3DS right now
mm-hmm.
when a new one is coming to Japan in 2014 and won't be here presumably until 2015? They've already said not in the calendar year will it be here. And they announced, was it three? Yeah, three.
Persona?
So we knew the Smash Brothers one was coming because they announced in Europe, and there's no way that was not going to come here. By the way, not bundled with the game.
Yeah.
You're paying for the 3DS alone.
Just the 3DS. Yeah,
yeah. You're not getting the game bundled instead. You're also getting a classic 3DS sort of themed around the original Nintendo Entertainment System.
Seen that.
Yes, yeah.
The box is amazing.
It looks like the console with the controller on it.
It has even the little yellow and red video out and audio on the side of the box.
The box does.
Yeah. Yeah, the box does.
The system itself
is the controller. On
is
the outside.
Garbage.
Whoa.
Yes.
Okay.
They nailed the look on the box. The box this thing comes in is awesome. The system itself is a huge missed opportunity.
Let's develop this point. Elaborate,
so you're saying
please.
It should.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You want me to keep going?
Yeah, you think
going.
It should look it? More.
Sure.
You think it should look more like the system rather than having like the controller printed on it? Is that
here's
just
what happened?
Controller printed across the top.
Yep.
A few years ago, or many years ago, Nintendo put out a redesign of the Game Boy Advance SP.
Yep.
Based on the classic NES series that they were doing.
They
at
did
the time.
A Famicom one too.
Yeah. And in the U.S., the one we got looked like an NES from the outside, where it had the gray stripe on the side,
mm-hmm.
and the top and bottom were different colors. And when you opened it up, it looked like an NES controller.
Yep.
It even had like that weird sort of like rough, almost sandpapery kind of grip that an NES controller had. They nailed the look and feel of it. It's beautiful.
I agree. I have that one.
This
love
new
it.
One is a picture of an NES controller on top of a 3DS, which makes no damn sense at all.
Well, when
you open it up, it's just gray inside and there's two red buttons, but they didn't do the overlay.
Yeah,
they
didn't. It's got the red buttons on the inside. It is gray all around and all over. I do feel it could have used a little bit more flourish, but I feel still that it is a decent looking system. I wouldn't throw it under the bus entirely. You seem to not like it at all, though,
no,
and that's fine. You have
like
different
it.
Opinions.
I don't think it's bad, but it does feel already like the new 3DS where you have a controller shell rather, you have a faceplate rather than
on
it being a completely.
It looks like something from Spencer's Gifts.
Aww,
no,
damn.
I'm sorry. Ouch. This and it might as well just have some corny thing on the back, like, oh, I love 1-ups
so
or something.
So give him the box, don't give him the system.
The box is great. And the box
is Brian play with the box.
Yeah. I said this on GameScoop, but it's like if you put out a PlayStation Vita and on the back of the Vita was a picture of a PSP. You'd be like, what the hell is this?
That's Inception. That's
awesome. That's what this is.
I like
they took
that.
A picture of another controller and put it on the top of it. It doesn't make any sense at all.
You said the controller should be on the controller.
Yes. Yeah. Put the controller on the controller. Put the box on the box. Good night.
So you're good at
right.
Photoshop. I want to challenge you for next week's podcast to make a Photoshopped version of what it should
I'm not
going to,
first of all,
right.
You ask our audience. They're good at Photoshop, too. I'm a tired old
They
man.
Might like it. Okay, if you disagree and you're pretty good at Photoshop, why don't you send it in to NBC@IGN.com.
Yeah.
Send Brian and the rest of us sort of your designs. We'll make a gallery, actually, and put it in the podcast notes
sure,
for next week.
Yeah. I will say, I mean, I agree with that. The special handhelds and consoles that I go for are the ones that use stylized art. Like, I don't like the You know, I don't like the here's every Smash Brothers character on the cover kind of and a logo on the side.
Well, wait,
right?
That, like, the characters look fine. Get rid of the logo. That's my beef with that model specifically.
But
continue,
I actually like, you know, Smash Brothers has the logo, the circle with the cross going through it. Like, if it was themed like that, I would actually prefer it. Like, my
minimalist.
I showed you the mother
saying.
GBA, right? Yeah. Like the Earthbound GBA. It's like scratched off, and you
corroded
know it's
buttons.
For yeah, you yeah. know it's for Earthbound, but it doesn't say Earthbound, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't put
it's
everything
on somewhere on there, but it's not huge. Branding. That, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, that's why I like better. I'm with Brian.
I think I
one.
Agree with you.
Well, that's because that's what this
Persona,
this,
for example, looks
yeah,
cool.
So the last one we didn't talk about. Sorry, yep. I'm going to let you finish because
no,
Brian just
I might as well not because I'm just going to keep yelling for the rest
no,
of my life.
No, it's okay. The last one that they announced, I'm sorry to cut you off,
it's
is
fine.
The Persona Q Shadow of the Labyrinth design. By the way, the Persona Q model and the NES styled model that Brian does not like are GameStop exclusive. The Smash one, you can get anywhere,
yeah,
any retailer, just for clarification.
Now, Persona one's actually a little different because
that one looks really cool.
It opens like a book.
Yep.
Like, actually, they did the artwork
like
sideways, which is kind of interesting. The box, on the other hand, on that one is very ugly. It looks like Austin Powers directed DVD.
Oh, my God.
So
no,
if you
want to
make Brian happy, like, for Christmas this year, buy the NES box, put the Persona... The Persona system inside, and you have the perfect gift.
And then tell me that I can trade it in a month later for the new 3DS because I don't care about this old one anymore.
Right. Okay. Uh-huh. No, but I like that concept of making it look like the book and having the hexagram or whatever.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. To me, this reeks of let's get rid of the old inventory with some stickers and some paint.
Well, and they're probably gonna focus on exactly that, right? Getting rid of the inventory. You know, this holiday, don't be surprised if some of these bundles and some of these systems are gonna be at some rock bottom pricing. And for folks who don't need the new next thing, like they're gonna get it at a great price, right?
Yeah.
Whereas
the
rest of us who really do want to be on that cutting edge of the latest Nintendo hardware, or we sort of want to own the next thing, it looks like the next thing is a 2015 thing.
Yeah, you'll keep on upgrading.
Okay.
There's a new iPhone too, but we're not allowed to talk about that.
Yeah, you know what it doesn't have on the back? It doesn't have a picture of the first iPhone.
First iPhone on the back of the phone.
But,
I love this.
But that would be stupid
agenda.
As hell.
But to that point, I remember a lot of people were mad when the new 3DS was announced. And it's like, you just can't get mad at that. It's like hardware will be renewed every so often. There'll be a new model you want with a new picture printed on it, new color, new stick on it. It's just going to keep on going. And you just got to jump in, enjoy your system. You don't have to have everything new either. Like, you don't have to buy the new 3DS when it comes out. You can wait 2 years, and then you're going to have an amazing lineup of games specifically designed for it. And then you can
get it
way
at a cheaper price.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I know it's hard to make that argument. But my wife always tells me that too. I'm like, no, I need it.
Oh, yeah.
Right,
no,
right,
I mean,
right,
that's all
you bought a 2DS.
I can say all this stuff, but all that logic falls apart the second Nintendo's like, we have a new thing. I'm like, give it to me.
Yeah,
with a 2DS,
it has a controller on the back.
Oh, I don't want that. That's a hold on. That is just completely. That is a surface level revision. There is no hardware changes there.
Okay.
That is pure. It's not even aesthetic. It's the opposite of aesthetic. It's
all
ugly.
Right. So last news story, and then we're going to wrap up because we got to go, is that okay, so for some folks who feel this is spoiler material, I guess this is your time to turn away now.
What are you spoiling?
Well,
like certain characters?
Yeah, so Smash Brothers for 3DS broke Street Date in Japan 2 days early.
Mm-hmm.
And through live streams, which were shown on Twitch, folks got the confirmed roster, you know, the complete confirmed roster for the most part, right?
Okay.
So,
and by the way, if you are, you know, adverse to spoiler material and you somehow have not been spoiled yet on the Smash roster, congratulations to you. I don't know
how
you pulled it. Yeah.
How?
Like,
you're
what?
Basically one of the jurors on the O.J. Simpson trial at this point.
Where
they were like, there's 12 people in the world that don't know about this thing that's everywhere.
I also feel like in a fighting game like that, though, it's you're going to find out that what characters are in it. The fun is playing the characters, not really discovery of the characters. Because you're going to play with your friends, and your friend is going to say, did you already unlock? It's like, no.
Well, wait a minute. Okay, so let's just go through who's in there, right? So Falco, Dark Pit, Ness, Bowser Jr., who, by the way, all his costumes are each of the Koopalings.
That's dope.
When you cycle through his alt costumes, Brian is finding this out for the first
time.
That's
really cool. Wait a minute. So
that's awesome.
Those aren't even alt costume. That's almost like
alt
they had an alt model everything. It's not just like a paint job.
So I wonder how it affects sort of how that character takes damage. Because if you think about the Koopalings, I was almost calling Koopa Kids because that's what we used to call them. Their dimensions are different.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, maybe it's because a majority of Bowser Jr. is inside of that little clown mobile.
Yeah.
I don't know how
the
they're handling it.
Same clown mobile.
Yeah. So I don't know exactly how they're doing this thing. Yeah. But
we're grown adults having this conversation. Yes. I think they're all on the same clown mobile. Yeah, they might have to switch.
I said Dark Pit already. Help me out here.
Dark Hunt Dog,
which we wanted to see. Holy cow.
Come on, that's awesome.
Oh, it's so cool.
Okay,
it's so cool.
And I'm a big fan of Dark Hunt Dog.
Good. Yeah, I love that dog. I think he's a great character. I cannot wait to beat his ass.
there you go.
We will finally have
I think there was a huge wasted opportunity on the Dark Hunt Dog.
Really?
Yeah, his laugh. He does the laugh when he comes up, like when he spawns at the start of a match. It's none of his taunts. But that could be like, that's like the classic taunt.
Yeah, that's exactly.
I mean, it's literally, it's a taunt. He's literally taunting.
That character is 90% taunt.
So to round this out, Wario, Rob, Jigglypuff, Ganondorf, Mr.
Oh, Rob's in it?
Rob is in it.
Rob's in it.
Yeah. I think I got them all, but there you have it. Now,
so who's not
the
back?
Reason I bring this up, Ice Climbers so far.
Suck at
Snake. Wolf. So far.
Snake.
Wolf.
Yeah, absolutely suck at Ice Climbers.
Snake. Yeah. He's gone, isn't he?
Yeah.
DLC.
So wait a minute. We were talking about this being potential spoiler material, but I guess the way I want to sort of dive into this discussion is, are there any secrets left for the Wii U version? And we talked about this, I think, a little bit when we were talking about the leak as a whole when this happened, like, what, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
What secrets are left? For some folks, they're concerned. Do I have a reason to be excited? I have an answer, but I want to hear yours.
Well, I mean, there are lots of trophies and things in there, right, that you're going to discover. Even if you read a lot of content about Smash Brothers, there's a chance that you're not going to see all of those things, right? Whereas, like, characters, people talk about them kind of ubiquitous. You can't get around. So... And I just think this game is all about, like, the levels and the discovery, like, as you play through the single player as well. I think there's still plenty to discover. And then there's DLC. Like, I think, you know, we will get to a point where a DLC will get announced, and so you get this new boost of excitement around things that you have yet to discover.
What do you think?
I mean, so, right, with DLC on the horizon, isn't it a distinct possibility that there are new characters announced for the Wii U version that then become... DLC for the 3DS version.
Yeah.
It's possible.
This is totally what I think. And I think, like, you know, a few years ago, we would have been like, oh, no way in hell. But Mario Kart, just a few weeks ago, they revealed that basically a fourth, 25% of that game is coming out again as additional DLC. Like, there's all these new cups, all these new characters we never would have expected to see in that franchise. So I think Nintendo's finally opening the door a little bit on that stuff. So
okay, and there's still so Smash Run we were talking about earlier is the 3DS exclusive mode. Still no word on what the Wii U exclusive mode is.
Yep,
there is going to be one.
I would be willing to bet there will 100% be one. I think
there
that
must be.
He's looking for whatever Sakurai has planned. It's going to be something that distinguishes it. There's also, outside of character customization, this controller thing may also be another, you know, the 3DS as a controller for the Wii U version may play some sort of factor in all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you reward players for owning both versions outside of just being able to swap data from one place to the other and, you know, and Amiibo, which is the other part of it.
And a free soundtrack on Club Nintendo.
Well, there you go. and by the way, we are kind of getting a peek at some of the Amiibo that are coming down the line, if you think about it. Because right now, what is it? 12 Amiibo are announced and are up for sale
for pre-order. That means we're getting a Rob Amiibo?
When we talked to them E3, you were in the room and you said the plan is to eventually get every character.
Yes!
So when you look at the statues as we're unlocking trophies, you're getting a look at probably what that amiibo is going to look like.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool. And granted, they're on the horizon. They're not announced. This is a longer term plan. Yeah. They're probably even waiting to see if amiibo is a hit or not before they start really doling. Like, you're not going to put all 40 something characters out.
Do you think Mr. Gaiman watched just a piece of paper on a stand?
Oh my goodness.
That would be hilarious. Well, yeah, I don't know if the 3D thing will really work. But anyway, I think there are still surprises. Also, surprisingly, this installment of Smash Brothers for 3DS, no fancy intro.
Yeah, it doesn't have the awesome
cuts.
I'll be the Mars.
That is true.
That's kind of a bummer.
But it does have... So when you
I'll
start,
be the Mars.
Yeah,
and it'll be the Roy.
Yeah, that's not how that went
at
all.
Can we do an acapella one day?
Sure. That was totally it.
Weird
you,
German version.
If you let it sit at the beginning, it'll go into like a
a movie of you know, the characters fighting, and it stops the action and does like little overlay saying like, use the A button to do this.
Yeah. So like a tutorial
video. The sort of the big fan service video. And Melee's still gives me chills to this day. Video for Melee.
And think about all the character reveals that they've shown at E3. Like, all of those are really entertaining videos. Are they not in the game?
They can't fit.
You know, when you unlock a new challenger or whatever, like, do you get intros when you unlock them?
On the Wii U version, maybe.
So is where you're going with this, that maybe this intro video could be in the Wii U version?
Yeah, that's another thing to maybe be excited about, although that's a smaller thing, but it's still, I feel like there's still going to be layers of fan service and things that I want to believe the Wii U version is going to, they're going to use to distinguish it. My bigger question is, how are you going to reward people for both? It seems like they have part of a plan, but let's see what the long-term plan is going to be.
Initially, I thought Amiibo was going to be just on Wii U, but now, you know, it seems like the packages are really similar. But remember that the stages are completely different, right? Yeah. Like, the stages on the 3DS version are unique. They're based on 3DS franchises, and on the Wii U, it's going to be different, right?
Yep. So. Okay, cool. Well, there you have it, folks. We're a little light on news this week. We just had a one-hour live stream that is going to be broken up into videos. You can see it on the site on IGN.com. Toaf, thank you so much for coming in for that live stream and also for this podcast, man.
Oh, man.
This means a lot. I really have always wanted to get representation for the Smash scene in here, and I'm really glad that you were the first one. He's right there in San Jose.
The world champion.
Oh, you mean him? I don't know about that one. No. Can I take that one back?
No.
Okay.
It's on record forever now.
Okay. Well, so thank you for listening to Nintendo Voice Chat. We are a weekly podcast on IGN. Also on IGN, we have a bunch of additional content, videos, features, previews. You're going to find a whole bunch of Smash videos going up this weekend, so you should definitely keep your eye on the site if you are interested in seeing more footage of the game, as well as the live stream that we just went through. That'll be probably, the whole thing will probably be up by Monday. Definitely check the site and anything else?
Remember to support us. If you leave a nice comment if you watch videos, and we'll comment back. You can catch us in the comments. Mm-hmm. Be nice, be a force for good. I like that. And also, if you want to support us, you know, turn off your ad block for sites that you enjoy, because that keeps the lights on. You can also join IGN Prime. It's a yearly subscription. You get free games, lots of Steam and PC games in general. Also add-on content for console games and so forth. And, you know, when you become a Prime member, you can turn off all ads, videos, display ads on our apps, like on iOS and Android. All the apps, all the ads turn off automatically, and you directly support the site. Thank you.
All right. So make sure you also check out MeleeAtAmi.com, which is a part of, and also they have a podcast. You should definitely give it a shot. And thanks again for listening. I am your host, at Jose Otero. You can find me on Twitter with that handle. You can find Brian Altano at
Agent Bizzle.
You can find Pear Schneider at
Pear IGN.
You can find Toaf at
Toaf underscore BBQ.
So you got to explain why the BBQ. Yeah, what's up?
Quick
story.
Quick story goes, have you ever, so you know on this is kind of a corny story. You know, like how people say, like, OMG, WTF, LOL, BBQ, and all that?
Yeah.
Yes. So my username on Smashboards when I signed up was OMG, WTF, Toaf. And then when I was signing up for Twitter, I was like, huh. So I could be OMG, WTF, Toaf, or I could move Toaf to represent the OMG, WTF part and leave the BBQ. That's the story. You heard it here first.
There you have it.
That's amazing. Right. And if you just say it, like, it sounds kind of funny, like, it's like Toaf BBQ.
Yeah.
Yep.
I took
Whereas
my car.
Agent Bizzle sounds really serious and, you know, respectable.
Exactly.
No, it was funny. I took my car in for servicing one time, and there was this really gruff guy who was like, hey, oh, okay, you know, just drive your car up there. And he's like, oh, you like to barbecue? Oh, yeah. I was like, yeah.
Yeah, you better.
Me and my grill, man. And that
just defines me.
That's my life. It's just the barbecuing dream.
There you go.
So.
All right. Well, thank you very much for listening, and we will be back next week.
Bye.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to Season 1, we are thrilled to announce the launch of Season 2. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you. And let's make Season 2 even more memorable together.